Welcome to For the Love of Dogs with Dennis Wolf.
Well, it has been a very, very interesting week. Everything from what we discussed last week about losing a pet. And it's all including all kinds of crazy things. It seems the world has truly gone mad. You know, I feel like I want to be Michael Douglas, I think it was. It must have been Michael Douglas. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. The whole thing, it's, come on, people. There's so much systemic issues, just issue on issue. People hating each other because they're Jewish or they're Catholic or they're Muslim or they're white or they're black or they're Asian. Come on, people. If you took our skin off, we'd be the same, okay? And it's the same thing with dogs. That's what today is going to be about. Dog breeds and bad raps that some breeds of dogs have and others really should have. I think every time we talk about racism or somebody's life mattering, and I deal with special needs children, some of whom have cancers and other issues and all, and I look at it as children's lives matter, adults' lives matter. If your life matters to you, then it should matter to somebody else. But we have the same thing going on where everybody hates everybody. We're all polarized, and it's starting to hit the dog world, okay? So you have people who are saying, you know, somebody's no good or somebody needs special rights or no rights or you should have extra rights. You know, there's a TV commercial, and I don't even know who it's for, which is, it means that's a bad commercial because you can't remember. Like, remember the Michael Jackson, Pepsi's the choice of a new generation. If you didn't remember if it was Coke, Pepsi, or Dr. Pepper, it was not a good commercial. A commercial, an advertisement, is supposed to turn your judgment toward a product. Well, I remember when we were, there was this great commercial a couple years ago, and it had people walking in to like a fluoroscope, basically like an x-ray machine. And you could see just their bones. There you could see a little bit of an outline of perhaps the muscles. But it was basically the best thing in the world because you look at it and you say, oh, look, those two people are holding hands and they come out and there's a biracial couple. Or those two people are hugging. Isn't that beautiful? And it's two young girls who are in love. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to be agreeing with somebody else's point of view. But where did you guys, and I'm not saying you guys, but where did the world come off legislating and moralizing things that should just be none of your darn business? Let's face it. Does it matter if you have the best dog in the world? Does it matter if it's a Rhodesian Ridgeback or it's a German Shepherd or if it's a Pit Bull or it's a Rottweiler or it's a Yorkie? Or it's a Maltese, or it's a Boston Terrier. What does it matter? Your breed of dog and who you are married to and who your kids are and who your kids date. The only people who that should be important to are the family members. And it should be a personal thing based on personal judgments. I don't want anybody to tell me that I can or can't have a particular breed of dog. I don't want anybody to tell me I can or cannot have a particular color or gender of child. It's not anybody's business. If it doesn't impact you personally for somebody to have a breed you don't like, it's none of your business. Where does it become your business? When that dog attacks your child or you or your dog or keeps you up all night or those people are a problem, not necessarily the dog. That's where problems should be. It's at the foundation. So let's go into some things today. All right. You're holding hands with someone who's of a different race. Whose business is that? Okay. You get a pit bull and you're walking your well-behaved pit bull down the street. Whose business is that? Nobody's. You and your girlfriend walk down the street holding hands and holding your dog. Whose business is that? It's none of your business. It's their business. When it becomes your business is when somebody tries to push their morality or somebody tries to push their dog feelings or their child feelings on others. Now, that does not mean that there shouldn't be rules, there shouldn't be guidance. But for goodness sake, every single person who is, let's say, anti-Semitic, okay, if you hate all, you know, I bet you if you look back far enough, I bet you might find out you've got that in you. I bet you if you're racist against, let's say, Asian people, there may be somebody in your background or one of your good friends who you love who might have Asian. You know, and it's the same thing with dogs. I'm so sick and tired of having people working on things and saying that, you know, hey, you know, I don't like that people are walking around with a particular breed of dog. Well, that's not your business unless that particular dog or breed of dog, everyone in it, is coming after you to attack you, hurt your child, or keeping you up at night. But there's a point at which, come on, people, let's freaking help each other. We're all stuck with this pandemic. I was so sure. I had so much faith in humanity at the very beginning when we were in like February last year of 2020. And I had so much faith that people were going to come together and help each other because I helped so many people. I was sending money and goods to people all over the damn country. All right. I don't tell anybody what I do. I'm telling you now. You know why? I didn't look at what color people were. If they had a dog and needed dog food, I asked them what kind of dog food they fed, what they needed. Do you need a leash? Do you need dog bowls? Do you need treats? Do you need something special? Oh, you have kids. I didn't say, gee, what color are your kids or what religion are your kids? Guess what I did? How many kids you got? What are the kids like? What kind of food do they eat? Do you have any special dietary problems or considerations that we need to do? I didn't care. And, you know, I guess I'm a little bit, maybe a little naive still at my age, that I think everybody in the world thinks like I do. They don't. I'm so tired of people, and you guys don't hear me like this often, I'm so tired of people trying to control other people's lives when they have no involvement whatsoever, when they shouldn't have any say. Now, where does it become a problem? Well, like I watched on, I think Wendy Williams had, and she's funny as heck. I love her. She had a guy who was a teacher, and he was tattooed, and he darkened his eyeballs. And some of you guys are going, yeah, I saw that. A few days ago it was. And he darkened his eyeballs so they're black. And he looks like a lizard or a snake. And I mean, he's fully tattooed in that. Now, if he's a teacher, is that an appropriate role model for our kids? I don't know. But you know what? If it were my child, maybe I would suggest not. But I wouldn't just say no because he might be a super guy. But where it becomes a problem, as I think age dependent, obviously age appropriate, is, you know, little kids. I mean, I still remember. I'm a little freaked out by what he looks like. But that's his choice to look like. That's fine. I don't have to date him or marry him or you know, learn from him or anything. But that is like the, you know, the rough example. If you say somebody who goes so over the top that they're maybe, you know, not perhaps the best role model for a child, okay, fine. If you're very religious, if you're very, very, you know, Christian or Catholic, or if you're very, very Jewish or Orthodox or Hasidic, or, you know, if you're of a particular belief, I don't know all that about every single religion, but I'm sure there are different sects in each religion. And if you want to raise your child in a certain way, as long as it is not harming others, that's your prerogative. That's your right. Why is it anybody's business what you can and can't do? It doesn't become a problem until it affects other people in a significant way. You know, you say, well, if my neighbor puts up a fence in the front yard, that means I can't look into their house anymore. Okay, well, maybe the fact that you have binoculars and a telescope set up angled at the single woman who lives there, maybe that's why the fence is going up, genius. Maybe we just have to start thinking and putting ourselves, well, thinking first, putting ourselves in the position of the people we're against. And I think that is a great thing. So let's talk about that. Now, I'm talking about it relating to humans, okay? But let's talk about it relating to dogs. All right. What's the most misunderstood and mischaracterized breed out there? And there are a few. German Shepherds don't have the greatest reputation. I mean, they're great if you own them, right? But, oh, you know, they'll kill you. Okay, whatever. And pit bulls, okay, which the color of the pit bull, is actually because most of the time the blue-nosed pits are the ones who are bred to be family dogs. So they have sometimes a better temperament because they're bred a little differently. But I have seen, and I have, several pit bulls of my own. So anybody who thinks I'm not a pit bull lover, I love them. I think they're gorgeous dogs. However, you also have to be honest with yourself to see the negatives, the downside of any breed of dog or whatever it is that you're looking at. There's a positive and there's a negative. Everything, in everything in life, there's a positive and a negative. So if we say that, let's say we're going to do a pit bull ban, now that's a problem because right away I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. If they're going to try to ban pit bulls, what are they going to try to ban next? If they're going to try to prevent, you know, somebody from joining a country club, and that's not my group, well, maybe they're going to try to prevent me from joining the country club. You have to look at things as a slippery slope, and that's really what happens. It is a very, very slippery slope. And that means that sometimes, even though we are, doing a lot of stuff now, and even though we have so many opportunities for so many different things, we really, really have to look at it as, let's look on a case-by-case basis. Let's not hate each other because of what we have or because of our religion. Don't be jealous of the person who has a lot. If you're jealous of me because I have a big house, did I buy the house from you because you couldn't afford it? No. You didn't even know the house existed. So how does that impact you? But if you want something big or beautiful or you want jewelry or whatever, fine. But you, if you get that jewelry or that big house or that fancy car or whatever it is you want, it doesn't impact me. So why should I be jealous of somebody who has more or something different than I do? I should be happy for them. And that's what I'm getting to today in today's session. And I'm calling it a session, not a show, because today's a session. We all need to start looking within introspectively and saying, what in the heck are we all doing? We in the dog community are a bunch of morons. We are so at each other's throat. And, you know, unfortunately, like, I've got dogs all over the place. I'm trying to get my dogs to come up, and we got crazy people who can't understand what we're saying because they don't want to hear what I say. They don't want to hear what others say. They want to hear what they think they hear. And you're never going to change that. And I still say, and I'm going to trademark this, it's the best thing in the world. We have been looking and thankfully have some vaccines that work to prevent COVID. Please, dear God, J&J, Janssen, Pfizer, biotech, if you guys can look, can you please find a vaccine for stupid? Because there's way more stupid than COVID out there. We in the dog community are fighting against each other. Do you know how many people there are who don't like dogs, who don't like animals? How many cultures who don't like animals? And I'm not talking about just the obvious ones, but in general. And we, the dog-loving group of us, we're talking about other rescues not being good. We're talking about other people who have too many dogs because they're trying to help or they're trying to, do things, good things for other people. But how about we all get together on that? How about we all, and it'll never happen because there's more ego in dog rescue than probably there is on Wall Street. But how about, can you imagine what a beautiful world it would be, right? Like Ray Charles, what a beautiful world. It would be the most beautiful, beautiful place in the world if we could all of us who love dogs, could all join together against the people who don't love dogs or who want to kill dogs or eat dogs or abuse dogs or pit bull fight the dogs. See, that's what the problem is. I've seen so many rescues go bust, And a lot of times they turn into decent sized rescues. And what happens? Ego. Yeah, ego. Because this one doesn't like that one, and this one didn't like the way that one did something with the dog, and this dog trainer doesn't like that one because this one can't fix it, but that one can, and so the bad one is jealous of the good one, so they start talking, you know, crap about the good one, and the good one says, you know what, I don't really want to do this, I was doing it for free anyway, and then it leaves it in the hands of the inept. And a lot of this that's going on, those of you who are in rescue, we'll know that, yes, this is exactly what happens. Too much ego. And everybody starts out wanting to do good. Oh, I just want to make this good. I want to help these dogs. And that's beautiful. But once you get there, you change. I don't know why you change, but you do. You change and you become exactly what you fought against and why you started your rescue or why you did what you did in the first place. So why can't we all listen? The words of Rodney King, great guy, right? I mean, we know him for other things. But he had the best line ever. Why can't we all just get along? Why can't we all just get along? And my friend Carl, who's a big guy, he's like, looks like a sumo wrestler, but he's Chinese, not Japanese. My friend Carl used to own best Chinese restaurant in the world, locally. It was phenomenal. Carl used to say, can you tell people, just be nice. Just be nice. How hard is it to just be nice? So what I want to do is go through things. I want everybody who's listening, because you obviously love dogs. You love listening to me rant or fix dogs or talk about what we're doing. And let's just try to do this together. Let's try to solve the world's problems in the next 10 minutes. I bet we can do it. So first thing, leave your ego at home. Do not bring your ego when you leave in the morning or when you get on a phone. Leave your ego behind. Start looking at life and looking at people and saying, gee, what does that person possibly know that I don't know? And if you say, nope, they don't know anything I don't know, or they don't know anything I don't, then you're probably pretty ignorant, because I've learned stuff my whole life from everybody up from like 3-year-old kids that I've learned something that I wouldn't have thought of as an adult. And I've learned things from, you know, my mother, who was like 93, you know, never, ever quit, never give up. I've learned stuff from my father who, you know, you messed with him and he was pretty damn tenacious, my dad. And, you know, if anybody ever tried to hurt somebody my dad loved, oh, you were done. But he was the nicest man in the world. He was wonderful until you crossed him. So I kind of think that that's the way what's going on now. Everybody is so on the defensive and people are getting maybe too protective and defensive. And what it's doing is it's really making us into mean people. It's making us hurt each other. And we love dogs. Everybody who's listening right now, I know you love dogs because that's why you're listening. This isn't a show about politics, but occasionally it turns into that because I want us all to join together, not kumbaya, let's all feel good, but let's help each other. When there's a dog who needs rescue or a kitten who needs rescue, and I'm not a cat person. I mean, I'd like to get a Bengal or two and maybe an Abyssinian. I like them because they act like dogs, but I'm pretty allergic. So, you know, why should I not like somebody who has cats or likes cats? It doesn't matter because we all love animals. Let's just say we all love animals. And if we love animals, we love children. We should all be trying to help them. Check your ego at the door and start thinking about how much more we could do if we all, let's say we each gave $1, everybody listening. We have, let's say, 1 million people who are listening to this station, or more than that. But if every person gave $1 to a rescue, that rescue would have $1 million at the end of today. And they could save so many dogs. How about instead of, you know, talking about other breeds. And, you know, I love my breed. But, you know, if I hear one more time, oh, well, I have a mini golden poodle doodle for the cock-a-doodle-poo. And it's like, you know, that's not a breed, right? And they're like, oh, yeah, it's a breed. No, it's not a breed. But it doesn't matter that it's not a breed. If it's healthy, it's well-behaved, it's not attacking your children, and all the things that it gives you are things you want, I don't care. It's fine. Whatever you want is fine. But don't prevent me from having what I want and can afford. So that's where we get into a little bit with the pit bulls. Pit bulls have to definitely have the worst reputation of any breed. And they're not actually really a breed. They're Staffordshire Bull Terriers that are bred with whatever they want to breed with, Corsos or whatever they breed, to get these dogs who are more aggressive and more, and you know, larger and more more formidable. But again, there are so many really good pitties out there. There are some really nice dogs. I had a couple I trained for service work many years ago. Now our insurance doesn't cover it. So if we say, like, every pit bull is bad, okay, let's say every pit bull is bad, they shouldn't be alive. Okay, well, let's take that to a particular race or religion or culture of people. Every one of them is bad. What do we do with them? Do we kill them all? Is that what we do? We don't breed them anymore, which I wish they wouldn't breed the fighting pit bulls. But, you know, if it's a well-bred, if somebody's spending time and they're doing the hips, elbows, thyroid, bear, surf, all the genetic tests and all, then, and they do well-bred dogs that have good temperaments, that's not my problem. But it becomes my problem when your ill-behaved dog or child or vicious dog or aggressive child who winds up murdering my child or attacking my dog, then it becomes my problem. Then it becomes my issue. But I think the breed-specific legislation, and I've been on the BSL committee for my kennel clubs pretty much for most of the kennel clubs, most of the time I've been on, you know, and a member, one of the things, it's a very slippery slope. If we start looking at any group and we say all blank are blank, that is the worst thing. And no blanks are blank. So if you say all, you know, pit bulls are good, that's not true, we know. But you can also not say all pit bulls are bad, because there's some great dogs and there's a lot right in the middle. So you can't do that in any kind of non-confrontational, non-prejudiced, non-biased manner. It's all anything's or anything is 100% dead wrong. It isn't right. So let's talk about that. So what constitutes a dog who might be a danger to society? Okay. Or a person who commits a crime and becomes a danger to society? Well, serial killers. I think we'll all agree serial killers are probably not like the people you want in your next door neighbor. But, you know, it's the same thing as with, you know, if you have, you know, 100 pit bulls in the country who have, you know, attacked and killed someone, why don't we look at the thousands of great dogs that have been great dogs? But we don't. The media sensationalizes everything, and the media plays us for puppets. When you see something and somebody's on the news, they're like, oh, a service dog, you know, was stolen. It, believe me, you could not steal the average service dog. You could not. A legitimate dog, you couldn't. So if the dog ran away, it's not your service dog if it ran away. Okay, that's just kind of long and short of it. So people say that it's a service dog because they want the media to cover it, or they say it's a therapy dog and it's their kid's therapy dog, which means absolutely nothing. So I don't mean to the kid, but I mean that there is no such thing as a therapy dog for an individual. That would be either a, you know, if we were talking like we've talked in the past, obviously it's either a service dog or maybe an emotional support dog. But a therapy dog is a totally different thing. They go to hospitals, nursing homes, breed with children, things like that. And they're just good, you know, well-mannered, sweet dogs that do that. But you have to look at it as when somebody starts talking about everything being or everyone being a certain way, either good or bad. That is the foundation of racism. It's the foundation of bigotry. It's the foundation of prejudice. It's fine if you say, well, I don't want my child to marry a person of this whatever faith or this background. That's fine. Because religion is a weird thing. You know, we all want to try to, you know, stay out of the religion's way. But removing a person's right to do their religion, I mean, or saying, because I love when the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and the preamble are all so completely misconstrued or misconstrued, as I say sometimes, where it doesn't say that we can't practice religion and that we can't, you know, be religious. It says that the government can neither, force basically you to be a religion, nor can it force you not to be a religion. And the problem is our rights are going away day by day, moment by moment. But the problem is beyond that is animals have fewer rights than we do. Animals have really no rights. And that becomes a problem because once animals lose their rights, then they can be abused, beaten, killed, whatever. Now, my husband actually was super instrumental many, many years ago in creating a new way that dogs were looked at by the police department. So if you had killed, let's say, a patrol dog and let's say a perpetrator shot the dog, there was nothing, no violation, there was no anything. Could be animal cruelty. Oh, whoop-de-doo, you have a hardened criminal. He's going to care that he's got an animal abuse charge. But when my husband actually had these dogs created into a role of an actual officer, and that's why we had Sergeant Humphrey, who was the dog who inspired the DARE program, National DARE program, my husband started. When you looked at Humphrey, if somebody were to shoot or kick or hurt Humphrey, it would be assault on an officer and an aggravated assault. So it's a very different thing to give an animal the right so that you're protecting its life. But it's something else when we start miscategorizing and just lumping dogs or breeds of dogs into a group. Because honestly, I've been bitten by a lot of German Shepherds. I've been bitten by pit bulls, but more German Shepherds. I've been bitten by a ton of Australian cattle dogs, the heelers. Oh my God. I've been bitten by a lot of herding dogs. And I've also been bitten by black labs. I've been bitten by chocolate labs. I've been bitten by probably almost everything because nobody ever says, hey, Janice, can you come over and see my incredibly well-behaved 8-week-old golden retriever puppy? Because they can't do that. They don't do that because they only call me when they've got a problem with a dog. So let's go back to that for a quick moment before we break and let's talk about that. So when we start eliminating breeds or we start lumping breeds and individuals of a breed or a group of breeds together and we say all mini golden abgo-doodle-boodles are great dogs. Oh, no, they're not. Promise. But when we say all pit bulls are good, no, they're not. But when we say all pit bulls are bad, no, they're really not because there's so many good. And that's what happens. It's racism with dogs, with animals. And instead of doing a little research, meeting some dogs who are those good ones and seeing that, hey, you know, guess what? You were wrong and myopic and parochial in your thoughts. They, no, I just don't want them and nobody should have them. But maybe it's not your business what they have as long as their dog is well-behaved, well-mannered, it's cared for properly. And, you know, that's all that really matters. But it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what each of us thinks. And it matters what's important to us. And as long as we're doing the right things, we're not creating issues, we're not creating problems, we are going to have a beautiful world. If we just stay out of each other's business, get your nose somewhere else, but not where it is in other people's lives. All right, well, that was spirited. So we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back with From Shelter Dog to Service Dog, which hopefully will be equally as spirited. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Here we are, shelter dog to service dog. So the first half of the show, I was pretty spirited about talking about rescue dogs and talking about people and racism and all kinds of things that we wouldn't really think are real pertinent to dogs. But it is, because it's the way we think. It's a manner of the way we look at the way we are is right and the way everyone else is wrong. And I see so much about it with politics and everything else. But today on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog, we're going to talk about something else. We're going to talk about the way we deal with and the way society has changed in dealing with purebred dogs versus rescue dogs. Now, purebred dogs, when I was a kid, purebred dogs meant that you were a good family, you had, you know, the best you were able to afford. And the dogs that we used to get back then, even the ones in pet stores, they were reputable show breeders who were selling good quality puppies, but that was basically their pet quality. They would sell them to the pet stores would sell them locally. That has changed completely. Let me just start by saying that a mini golden doodle is not a breed. So when you get one, it could be very possible that it's going to be 20 pounds. It can also be 60 pounds because genetics are a really weird thing. We didn't have these designer dogs, designer disasters, I call them sometimes. Hey, you can hate me, but I'm blunt and honest, and I'll be the one who fixes that dog when the people who, you know, massage your mind and ego tell you how great you are. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to show you, though, how to fix things. So when I look at these dogs now and I say, well, you know, the dogs that we have now are very different than the dogs we had when I was a kid, because the dogs we had when I was a kid were either pretty much purebred dogs who, you know, were, like I said, show dogs that we had because the people who were breeding them were legitimate, reputable breeders that were showing. Then we got this thing called pet stores, and then we got people breeding garbage breeds of dogs, like they were breeding, you know, the same ones. Let's say they're breeding, let's say, a German Shepherd, but instead of it coming from a well-known show breeder, it's coming from somebody who's just doing it to make money. Then we have transmutated into this new thing where let's just breed everything together because it's cute and fluffy. Now, I still am thinking that although Wally Conroe in 1989, who did live in Australia, who bred the first lab poodle mix, couldn't get rid of them. He couldn't dump these things because nobody wanted a mixed breed dog. And he or somebody came up with the name Labradoodle. So people go, oh, what a cute name. They weren't quote unquote hypoallergenic. They were hyper, but now we have so many mixes of mixes, and you don't have people who are committed to good quality dogs. You have people who are just breeding indiscriminately. They don't care. I mean, like, I know one of my new friends who's probably listening, she got a dog that was supposed to be a Fox Terrier mix, and it turned out that it was like 20% Fox Terrier. It was Chihuahua, and it had the tiniest, I don't even think it had Fox Terrier, actually. I think it had a tiny bit of poodle in it, which you'd never know. And that's false advertising. You can't do that. So if you have purchased one of these mixed breed dogs and you say, gee, why is my mini golden doodle supposed to be, you know, that's supposed to be 20 pounds. Why is it, you know, 80 pounds and it looks like, you know, like a mastiff? We have things called DNA. You have Wisdom Panel, you have Embark, you have some of the other smaller ones. Get your dog DNA tested because you can go back to that person. It's false advertising. It's misleading, misrepresentation, and fraud. If you buy a puppy and it says it is a whatever mix and it is not that, you can get treble damages, which is three times what you paid for the dog. But I don't understand, why are people paying when you could get a super, super amazing, brilliant dog that is grand champion show dog parents that could go out and win at any show, and you're complaining when we charge you $3,000 or $4,000 for our pick of the litter? but you'll pay $4,000 or $5,000 for a Bernese Mountain Dog poodle mix because it has colors, which, by the way, fade most of the time over time. So by the time they're a couple years old, they're just kind of looking like a poorly bred party-colored poodle. But why are we doing this? What insanity is there, people, that you are buying a mutt? A mutt. It's not purebred. It's not well-bred. It probably has all kinds of issues. And if it doesn't, then that's great. But a lot of them do. What is wrong with you? I feel like I want to, like, Cher in the movie Moonstruck, where she smacks the girl and she goes, "What's wrong with you? Snap out of it," right? So what's wrong with you? So I can understand if somebody like myself is spending, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, sometimes more than that, campaigning a show dog. I can understand when we do all the hips and elbows, thyroid, bear surf, genetic tests of every sort. I can understand that we charge a certain amount for those puppies because we're never going to get our money back. But by charging more for those puppies that are the show dogs, you know that those dogs are having all their health checks, temperament. If you have a problem, that breeder will take that dog back. That breeder, a grand champion show dog breeder, like not just somebody who's got AKC behind him. But I, as a CGC, AKC CGC, star puppy, CGC Urban and Advanced, and Trick Dog, I'm certified for all those. I see dogs that really are pretty, pretty bad examples of dogs. Dogs that are doing all kinds of crazy things, all kinds of bad things. And it's because of the genetics. It's because of the breeding. So what is it in you that people say, "Oh my gosh, I'm just going to go spend $5,000 or $3,000, $3,500 on a mutt"? Because guess what you can do? There are rescues for all those dogs who are not kept, and even if they're good dogs. So if these dogs are, you know, working, and these dogs are, you know, not working out for somebody else, they have rescues. Don't go to a person who's breeding these dogs, because they're going to keep breeding them. And when you go to a pet store and you rescue the dog from the pet store, you didn't rescue it from the pet store. What really, really happens in that is that you are perpetuating that, and you're continuing. So whoever is breeding these poorly bred designer, whatever they we want to call them, and a lot of them are sickly. A lot of them have aggression issues when, as they get older. I see it. I mean, I can tell you, like, 40, it's probably up to 40% now of my business as a canine behaviorist, rehabilitating dogs, is these poodle mixes. And I love poodles. We have standard poodles we use all the time for Merlin's kids. We have quite a few wonderful, and they're well-bred poodles that were donated or that we, you know, got from great breeders. And, you know, a big thing about it is making sure that the person that you're getting this dog from is going to give you at least a two-year health guarantee, because most of the genetic tests, you're not going to find out if somebody has a genetic issue for in the first 6 months. I love when these quote-unquote breeders will give a contract that it says, if there's any genetic issues present in the first 30 days, well, geez, that's impossible, because if you have 30 days, you're not going to have a lot of the issues you're not going to know about. So you definitely want to be, you know, working on all that kind of stuff and making sure that whoever you're getting a dog from is going to stand behind your dog. But better yet, instead of continuing to help people who are just breeding to make money and are breeding on every heat cycle, so you have the mother dog, you know, is 4 years old and has had six or seven litters already, that's not cool. Okay? Because no grand champion show dog breeder is going to do that. We are very careful, and we keep our females. Most of us, I do. I know most of the people I know do. Or we will give them to a wonderful home, and we make sure that they go and they're well cared for and all that. But the problem is that, you know, so many people out there are, you know, are just breeding to just make money. And that's never a good thing. That's why drug dealers deal drugs, because they make a lot of money. Look at what it does to your kids. It's not the best thing in the world, but it's what happens. So, you know, the first part of that is going to be then, obviously, making sure that if you are going to go buy a puppy that you get the puppy from somebody who's reputable. Ask them a million questions. Go on Wyatt's List, W-Y-A-T-T-S-L-I-S-T, wyattslist.com. You can get into it for free, and then there's a paid version as well. But you can go on there, and it has lists of questions you should ask a groomer, lists of questions you should ask a veterinarian, lists of questions you should ask somebody who you're getting a dog from. It's very, very important. So why would you spend $4,000 or $5,000 or even $3,000, even $1,000 on something that's a mutt? Because back in the day, you would have been like, we would have looked at you as like, oh, that's what you got. You got a mixed breed dog. They're not purebred dogs. Maybe in 100 years, an Australian Labradoodle will be a something. But every time I see these dogs, they look like every other poodle mix. And I have no idea. And if I can't tell, and I've judged rabbit shows, dog shows, and horse shows my whole life, and if I can't tell two of the same supposed breed, that's a problem. So you got to really look at that. Now, rescue dogs. What's wrong with a rescue dog? Are rescue dogs inherently bad? What rescue dogs are good breeds or good combinations of breeds to have? Well, you can get something if you want a mix of something, let's say you say, okay, I want a poodle mix. You can go. There are actually poodle rescues, mixed poodle rescues. You know, some of them will call it a doodle rescue, whatever. But you have to really be able to, work on that and to say to yourself, do I want to spend $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, or do I want to get a dog that was, somebody else dumped? Now, why do people dump dogs? We talk about this all the time. We talk about it all the time. It's the main thing that we do, and we say, everything in life, has a price, right? But it's just really important to think, what could you do with that $3,000, right? I mean, nobody's got money now, right? But we're not going on vacation now. I guess we are. But what could you do with that $3,000? Well, you could have me come. First of all, and you could also do a whole bunch of other stuff that would be, let's say, go on vacation, bring your dog to a dog-friendly place. The only difference between a rescue dog and a purchased dog is that somebody failed that rescue dog. It's like a child who you adopt as a child versus adopting a baby. When you get a child, and listen, I'm adopting a young lady from another country, and I'm so excited, but like I'm kind of like cheating on it because I already know who she is as an adult, and I love her. But it's hard when you have a child or you adopt a child. You don't know what the genetics are behind it. So to me, being able to adopt, especially from a rescue versus a shelter, although there's some great shelters out there, but to be able to adopt a dog who's been living with somebody and that you can get all the information on it, you'll know what it likes, you'll know what it doesn't like, and then call me. You can call me at 855-449-9288. That's 855-449-9288. You can call Hi Wyatt, 855-HI-WYATT. And you'll get me, and just ask to be patched through to me. And if I'm not available, then we'll have somebody else help you, or I can get back to you. But the idea being, what we want to do is try to get people to stop doing the same stupid thing over and over again. And just imagine if we could all get together, we could all agree, we could all work together, we could all say that, hey, we all love dogs. We all love animals. So isn't that a great thing? Isn't that a great thing? Because if we're looking at something and we're saying, what is it in life that is, so important? What is it in life that makes us joyous? Well, one of the things I think is the fact that, when people are trying to communicate with a dog. Why don't we learn how dogs communicate? My book happens, Dog Behavior 101. It's SHHH. Happens, Dog Behavior 101. If we are able to, let's say, try to figure out what, what it is that we're wanting from life, why don't we get a dog who's already been adopted and who somebody failed? And maybe you can try to figure that out, because it's a problem when people are just not understanding and they're just doing things kind of haphazardly and they don't understand why they're doing it. It is just critically important for all of us to come together, all of us to look at dogs in a different way, to look at it and say, I want to, have a dog, let's say a poodle mix. Okay, fine, you can get one. Why don't you go to the shelters? Why don't you go to the rescues and check that out and look into it and say to yourself, hey, maybe I can give a dog who's 6 months or a year old a chance, just like you can give a child a chance if you adopt a child who's unwanted by somebody else. It's the same thing. But the problem is that you're not guaranteed of having a good dog just because you think that if you get a puppy, it's going to magically just be okay. Because every single dog that's in a shelter or rescue right now, pretty much somebody thought that. They thought, oh, how hard can it be? And it's not that it's hard. It's that you don't speak that language. And, I can really explain that in a better way to you as, the devil you know is the better than the devil you don't. So if you can figure, as far as trying to figure out what you want, we can definitely, talk about that a little bit and say, okay, what is it that, we're trying to figure out? What are we trying to do? And I think everybody really has to think about it as far as, what is it that we are all trying to do? What are we trying to communicate? And what are we trying to do? Because if we don't know, and if we, try to communicate and we don't do a good job of it, we're going to have that issue where you are going to be the problem, where you are going to now be that person dumping that dog into a shelter or rescue because you thought it was that easy. And it's really not that easy at all. It's not easy at all. So again, that's really where I'm coming from today. And I want everybody to think about that. I want you all to think about how important it is for all of us to help each other, to not be, communicating angrily, but to be communicating, helpfully, and trying to, make basically the world a better place for dogs and for people all together. So how that brings us to the close of our show for today. And, join us again next week. We love to hear from you guys, so please do let us know what we can do. And if you want to email me, you can email me, I believe, through the station, and you can call us at 855-449-9288, and we will happily help you. So till next week, please take good care of each other, love each other, help each other. Let's make this world a better place. Take care.